Hello and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico. If this is your first time streaming or downloading the program, Guelph Politicast is an interview show where I talk to politicians, activists, and people of note making a difference or are just trying to make life in the Royal City more interesting. For previous episodes of the Guelph Politicast, you can find them on the Guelph Politicast channel on Podbean, or you can subscribe through iTunes. Today I talked to Emily Vance, Becca Cheskes, and Kayla Weller. Who are they? Well, they are politicians, and they did recently win an election in Guelph, just not one that the majority of Guelphites were able to vote in. These three young women are the new vice presidents of the Central Student Association at the University of Guelph, and they have a lot to consider and even more to do when they take up their new roles later this spring. Student politics is the subject of this week's Guelph Politicast. So how does the CSA work? Well, for over the last two decades, it's been a cooperative model, five commissioners with their own dedicated portfolios, with no one commissioner having more power than the other. For the 2017-2018 school year, though, that will change with the election of a president and three vice presidents, a move to a more traditional hierarchical model that did not come without controversy from past CSA members. But in a big change like this, there's lots of opportunity to leave your own mark and establish new customs and criteria, and Emily, Becca, and Kayla are intending to do just that. On the other hand, there are the new challenges as well. One is the fact that Jay Rojas, the only candidate to run for CSA president in the original election, got more attention for his past than his policies. If you are listening to this podcast on Wednesday, then U of G undergrad students are in the final day of voting in a runoff election to finally name a new president. Once that's sorted out, top-of-mind issues will include the mental health of U of G student population, which has been the subject of much concern and conversation lately, and then there are the everyday concerns like the high cost of tuition, meeting the needs of students, and then there are the issues you encounter on a daily basis that you were never expecting. It's a big job, three big jobs actually, but I think you'll be able to tell that these three ladies are more than up to the job. So in this Guelph Politicast, I talked to the trio about their backgrounds, how they found themselves in student politics, what they want to do with their present responsibilities, what they're looking to do with their futures, and their plans to tackle the various issues and concerns they're about to face when they take office. So I caught up with Emily, Becca, and Kayla last week in studio.
So my name is Kayla Weiler. I've been elected as the VP of External Affairs in the current, most recent CSA election.
And my name is Becca Cheskes. I am your new VP Academic.
Emily Vance, new VP Student Experience.
So, we just discovered this is the first time you guys are all meeting, in, which is kind of unusual because you're about to spend a year together in the CSA office, hopefully getting along the whole time, although I know from my own experience as a student journalist that doesn't always end up the way. Not to put a damper on it immediately. So maybe we'll start with a bit of background in terms of how you came to run for student government. Why don't we go the opposite way? We'll start with Emily.
Cool. So in my time as an undergrad, I was involved in a lot of different things. So from the synchronized swimming team, I was president of that for a couple years, and then going to Psych Society, I was multiple positions on that. And then I also was on Student Support Network, and I was and still am on the exec of V-Day, which is one of the CSA clubs, mostly known for production of the vagina monologues. So I kind of was a bit all over the map and not super student government-y. And then, but just kind of, I don't know, a weird range of things. And then last summer I was a part of the orientation team, and I had heard that the External Affairs Commissioner position at the CSA was opening up and campaigning was going to be starting for a by-election. So I got involved in that. I ended up getting elected. So I've been doing that since November. And then kind of was thinking about rerunning, and then with kind of all the new positions and portfolio kind of change-ups with the hierarchical structure, it really encouraged me to rerun. So yeah, that's kind of my journey.
Mm-hmm. That's we'll get into that in a bit, but you were in the old position, under the old structure of the CSA, now you're going to be in the new structure, so that's going to be
it's going to be very interesting to see kind of how that changeover is in practice. It's going to be very, it'll be cool. I'm really excited. I'm really excited about it because any kind of big change like that, like we acknowledge it's not going to be 100% perfect the first time. So that was also kind of a motivation to rerun because I wanted to see how it will work, where there are maybe some things that need to be changed to ensure that it is a strong structure for future years and it's not going to crumble in 2 years' time. Mm-hmm.
So, Becca.
Yeah, so, I mean, Emily is a hard act to follow. I want to just be real for a moment and say that I was not at all that level of engaged during my time at the university. I didn't, I wasn't in any kind of executive roles. Like, I wasn't on, like, the execs of any clubs. I was involved. I was, like, pretty heavily involved, I would say, in the International Development Society because that was my program. It's a small program. We were all friends. I mean, I cared about the initiatives and the events that they were doing. But otherwise, I was just kind of, like, volunteering sporadically and trying to be as engaged as possible on campus while just doing my work and trying to get the grades that I wanted and feeling like what I think is probably a pretty typical student, just trying to get through your 4 or more years doing the best you can and not falling apart. And so that's what actually attracted me to this position in specific is that it is a lot about making sure that like students are advocated for in terms of just their holistic well-being while they're trying to achieve. So stuff like affordable education, accessibility is huge. Like I have an identified learning disability, so I just understand how important it is to know what's available to you. And then also mental health is something that I really care about and something that I have like my own experiences with as an undergraduate. Mm-hmm. So it just was very attractive to me because I know what it's like to be just a student trying to get through as successfully as possible. And that looks like a lot of different things, not just, you know, are you getting good grades?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we have overachiever, just trying to get through school. And Kayla, this would be so great if you like were somewhere in the middle.
Maybe you are.
Well, actually, I kind of am. But I'm kind of like, yeah, a little leaning towards a bit more of Becca's experience. Like, I've been involved with things before, but like not as, yeah, like not heavily. But lately, I've been trying to like rebuild my like activist cred. So I'm like trying to like get involved with more things. So, like, things I've been involved with, but, like, kind of, like, mediocre involved, but, like, still involved in it is, like, I was part of, like, the Pay More, Get Less campaign. That was kind of interesting. A couple times, like, while tabling, some, like, old professors would come up to me and heckle me about it. And I'm like, like, I'm just a student. Like, I'm just here. Like, thank you. and I've been part of... I'm part of, like, the Guelph Action Coalition. It's kind of, like, a new version of the Guelph Mobilization Committee. So it's kind of just, like, it's a reformation kind of a little bit. I'm a history major. So I'm, like, part of History Society, too. It's cool to talk to, like, people about history stuff. So, yeah, and, like, kind of a motivation for running is, like mainly, like, tuition fees, like, this whole like talk with like Kathleen Wynn. I actually got to meet Kathleen Wynn when she was here. Like I just kind of like snuck up, sat down. She was like, "Nice to meet you," and I was like, "This is crazy." So, like I was like, "I'm meeting the Premier of Ontario right now," and like I'm just your average student. Like I'm not involved in anything. Like I'm not part of like I'm not part of the Young Liberals or anything. And I was able to like meet her, and they were talking about tuition fees that day, and. So I was talking to her and like just listening to how they're saying like it's free tuition and all this such, and I actually was like, oh, but is it actually free? So I like looked it up, and I like learned more about it, and then I realized like it's kind of like misleading to some people. So I was like, maybe I can like make a difference and kind of like change this a little bit, or advocate more for like students who like struggle to pay their tuition. So that's just a big thing for me because I'm from I'm from Walkerton, Ontario. So we're from I'm from a fairly small town, but like big enough at the same time. And like my parents my dad works at a grocery store. My mom works at a bank. Like they both they don't make a lot of money, but like they're still like go to school. Like you're gonna enjoy it. You're gonna have a great time. So like it's great to have like that background support. But it's also like it's nice to have to be able to come to school and not be stressed out about money and actually just focus on, like, doing your studies, because mm-hmm. that affects a lot of your mental health. So if that, like, the pressure of finances isn't there, then, like, a lot of the mental health, like, not a lot, but there's, like, less stress and pressure on students to work several jobs to just pay their tuition. So mm-hmm. that's just, like, that's, like, the main reason why I was, like, I need to get involved in this. So. Mm-hmm.
So I think you've all hit on something that is the reason anybody runs for student government, which is, you know, to help your fellow students, to help them with quality of life that goes into the mental health thing, tuition. And I think in terms of looking forward, how do you, what are your sort of plans in helping to address some of these issues? Mm-hmm. I'm sure you've thought about it.
Yeah, so one of the big things that I ran on was creating more opportunities to, like, get student feedback and figure out, like, I know what I need as a human and needed as a student for support and for in terms of, like, finances and activities and all those things, but I can't really speak on behalf of 20-whatever thousand people. it changes so often. So one of the big things I really ran on was, yeah, trying to get that student feedback, because this year the current executive did the, like, CSA report card, where we were able to get that feedback from students to figure out what do you want from your undergraduate student association. Like, what do you want from the CSA? What do you think you should be focusing on? Kind of where do you want us to, like, put our hard work? And that was really helpful, and it allowed us to, like, create this, like, kind of mission, vision, values concept to, like, figure out what our organization should be about, how will it best serve students. So I kind of want to continue that.
Has something like that not been done before? Or not recently?
It doesn't sound like it was recent. Megan Wing mostly headed that project, and that was kind of underway when I came in, because I came in November in right. the by-election. So it was kind of underway and was really starting to pick up once I got there. So, yeah, so I think it's just was something that hadn't been done in a while, and the student population is always changing, like, even from when I started in first year, like, campus is completely different. Because that's just how campuses are. They evolve and they adapt and all those kinds of things. So I kind of want to implement some sort of, like, focus group schedule and initiative, because a lot of universities do that. Like, we went, and colleges, we went to visit Conestoga, and we were like, how do you kind of gauge where students are at? And they're like, we go around and we talk to students and we have, like, focus groups every month and, like, have created spaces on campus and initiatives on campus based solely on that data, and, like, the students really enjoy it and, like, really appreciate having their voices, like, impact their campus in a positive way. So that's one thing that I really want to do, as well as, like, continuing the committee work that I've been doing, and then, like, other committees that I would be sitting on according to that big old portfolio. So kind of having those conversations in those committees where, like, that change happens from, like, the higher up mm-hmm. areas. So making sure that from the information from, like, all those focus groups and all those survey opportunities, that student voice is being heard in those committees with the people who really can make those big decisions that impact students. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm really on the same page. Like, the thing that really became evident to me while I was campaigning is that people do not know. The majority, I hate to say this, but, like, I'm going to be bold and say that the majority of the student population does not have a clear understanding of what the CSA is or does for them.
Oh, 100%.
Like, and which is amazing. This is why, like, right? Like, this is why it's, like, so encouraging to have, like, an identity of the CSA really being forged and, like, made clear to students, because that's its own huge problem. Because I think what that comes down to is students not knowing, you know, they have this idea of the CSA as this lofty kind of undefined body that sends them emails that they delete. Like, I swear to you, like, I talked to at least five people when I was tabling who said, like, oh, man, like, I gotta check my delete folder. I think I might have deleted the voting email. Because, honestly, this happens more than yeah. you would even think. And so making sure that people know who we are and that we're really, really there to support them and that we do want to hear from them is something that I'm passionate about, and part of that really is seeing what other universities are doing well, like doing your research. I want to be creative in reaching out to students, but I also want to find out what's already working and like see if that can be implemented here. And I think that focus groups are like amazing. Like I actually like speaking with students instead of like hoping that they're going to like reply to your email. I mean, that's the best way to hear from them, and finding ways to do that is really important. And that also fits into like the mental health discussion. Has been positive, like being able to like freely talk about this. Like I'm hearing conversations about it like daily on campus, just between students. I think that's really positive, and I think that that goes to show that people are willing to talk about it. They want to see changes. They have ideas for how those changes need to be made, especially from their own personal experiences. Mm-hmm. So really working on that, finding ways to make sure that when we are making services really evident to people, making sure that they know where those services are, what they can expect when they go to them. I mean, that's the key, because we have a wealth of services available that can be so helpful to people who are reaching out for support. They just have to know. They need to have the knowledge there to do that, and it needs to be a conversation that we have with students.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Kayla, what are your priorities other than bringing the doors back?
Oh, you're referencing to my Doors shirt. Yeah, I know. I love the Doors. That's a fact. That's not wrong. Well, kind of just going off of what you've both already said, like, I agree. Like, it's definitely greatly important to hear what the students want and not just have them delete the email and ignore everything that CSA does. And like a big part of that is there's like two kind of groups of students who are involved and students who aren't involved. Mm-hmm. And that just go to class, like go to the library, go home, those kind of people. And I think it'd be like the success of these outreach groups and talking to students would be shown if the students who are not involved are the ones who are replying back or getting their feedback. And like, right. I think that's, you both like touched on some really great suggestions of how to do that, not just the students involved, but like all students, all like hopefully the 20,000, but like it's like that's a stretch, but like honestly, like set your goals high so you can like achieve, like get to that. So I don't, like at the current moment in time, I don't really have many suggestions of, like, how to outreach to students, but you've both made, like, really great suggestions already, so I'm like, let's go with it. Like, one thing that I would maybe want to do or, like, try and do is, like, work more with the clubs, because I know, like, the Games Club, that's a big group of people, and, like, that touches a lot of students, and or just certain other groups on campus, like, it's kind of like not reinventing the wheel. It's like they already do something that's like so good and mm-hmm. like can already outreach to different groups of students, not just like, because there's such a diverse group of clubs that like it's good to like work with them in their way of like, how do you talk to students that fit in this category or students that fit in this other category? So that's like one way, but that again is also like just a group of people who are involved with things, like right. involved with the CSA, and that's not really like the group that's not involved, but yeah, like your suggestions were helpful. They're really good. So,
well, I know Becca joked about people deleting the email, but I think anyone who has, you know, gone to school here probably hears truth in that. Mm-hmm. And I wonder how much of trying to get more attention plays into the organization of the CSA and going from the cooperative model of the commissioners to a more hierarchical model with the president and vice presidents. And maybe you can lend some insight into that, Emily. You were being sort of there amidst the transition. Mm. But do you see that as, you know, perhaps a way of simplifying the process? Because it's explaining a cooperative system is a bit tricky, but saying, here's the president, I'm a vice president, here's another vice president, and going from there, perhaps that's simplifying things. I don't know. Maybe you can...
Oh, yeah, I 100% agree. Just from, like, the past, like, few months, like, telling people, like, oh, I'm an external affairs commissioner, and they're like, what does that mean? I'm like, that's a great question. you're absolutely right to ask that. Same with, like, me and the local affairs commissioner, Jay Rojas. We went to a conference together in the fall. It's the Canadian Conference for Student Leadership over at Niagara College, which was awesome. We should go. but it's in Vancouver, and that's far. But it was interesting because there were students from schools like across the country, and like all of them were like, oh, I'm like president of this student union, and I'm like president of this student association. And I'm like, same. No, we're commissioners. And they're like, I don't know what that means. So even just like within student government niches, like there's like confusion of we were, I think, the only school there that had representatives from a student association that was not a hierarchy. So I think just the titles alone make things like make more sense to people.
Mm-hmm. But it was not uncontroversial. You had a lot of former commissioners writing letters to the Ontarians saying,
this is true.
This is an outrage.
This is true. And with any big change, there's always going to be opposition. Really, I think if we heard no opposition at all, we would have been hesitant because we would have been like, is this actually going to be like as big of an impact as we think it is? Hopefully all positive, of course, but like I would have been hesitant and like worried if we received no opposition at all, just because of the nature of the change. But but yeah. I don't remember your question.
That's all right. You were coming, Becca, you were coming into from the perspective of someone who hasn't been engaged very much. Mm-hmm. So did that have an effect on you?
I mean, as someone who wasn't super engaged, I'm a very, like, political gal. I'm like, always interested in, like, what I'm hearing about on campus. And I do read Ontarian articles. I have a lot of people on Facebook who are pretty vocal about things. And so I did know what was going on. I knew that the change was coming. I knew a lot of different people's perspectives on the change. And, like, I had my own perspectives. And so I would kind of like to address that because I think the two biggest things that I heard were that, one, like, you know, now students are just, you know, they're not going to be represented accurately now because there's a hierarchical structure. And to me, I was like, you know, I don't think that makes sense because while, you know, the biggest thing that people were saying were like, well, if, like, VPs, like, don't have a vote, well, then how on earth are students' voices being heard from, like, on their behalf? And I'm thinking to myself, well, I'm sorry, it doesn't mean that, like, people don't have a voice anymore. Like, I'm not being silenced as a vice president.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's, like, this wider – it's a group still. And I think that kind of moves into the second criticism that I heard, which was that, like, you know, the president's going to have too much power.
Mm-hmm.
It's not egalitarian anymore. So – but to me, I'm like, okay, so this president is being elected in good faith by the student body, and one of those expectations that's there for them is to work with the VPs. That's what, like, all political systems are in when they're a democracy, right? God willing, bless the United States of America. But, like, seriously, in all seriousness, like, that the president is being elected in good faith, that they will work with and hear in collaboration the vice president. And I really do believe that that can happen. At the end of the day, you're still a team. You're still a unified force that's working with a vision of representing students. So I think that, like, it's good to be a little bit more optimistic about that instead of, like, you know, there's no way it can work. And I also need to remind people once again, like, there are checks and balances already structurally in place. Like, the president still answers to the board. So it's not like, you know, they're just, like, wielding the stick of power, like, unbridled. Like, it's fine. It's, like, there's supports and, like structural elements there to make sure that this can work. And like Emily said, like, yes, this is the first time that we're doing this. And, like, it might be, you know, at times it might be a bumpy road or, like, there might be things we have to work through, but that's great. And I'm happy to be a part of the group that's going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
What's there now ain't working.
So. Yeah, so, like, let's try a new thing. If it's not working, you try a new thing. I'm a believer in that.
Well, I think the U.S. president's getting a pretty big lesson in democracy as we speak.
Yes.
So, Kayla, would you rather be a commissioner or would you rather be a vice president?
Okay, so I'll start with, like, I was at the meeting, the general meeting for the vote on this change, and it was interesting just to be there, like, as an observer. Like, it was actually the first general meeting that I was able to go to because in the past I always had, like, a night class on that night.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I was able to go, and it's interesting, like, there was almost, like, equal amount of people speaking for it and against it. And, like, a lot of different, like, points were brought up, and they're good on either side. And it's just, like, interesting to hear the whole story, because a lot of people that I've, like, talked to before the meeting, they were against it. And I don't know, at first I was, like, against it, but now that I think about it, like, the problem we've already, like, brought up earlier in our discussion today was that a lot of students don't know what the CSA is and what it does, and part of it might be due to the fact that there's no name to, like, the CSA. Like, there's no... Like, people know me now, they're like, oh, you're the VP. They're like, Kayla's the VP. And I'm like, yeah, that's me. Like, holla at ya. Like, so, yeah, like, so now people are like, oh, like, they understand what a vice president is. They don't, and they understand what a president is. The, like, I think it's just the title commissioner confuses people a lot. Like, Emily, like, you've brought up, like, and you've already had the experience of, like, telling people I'm the commissioner. Yeah. And confused like, looks on their face, you know, so, yeah, and, like, obviously, like, hierarchy doesn't always mean, like, conflict, and it doesn't always mean, like, like a top-down approach. It can mean, like, a bottom-up approach as well.
That's interesting.
And it depends on, like, obviously, like, who's elected, and I think part of, like, the whole discussion of the new hierarchy change and, like, just recent things about the past election, it's gotten people more, like, engaged in voting and like being more interested in the CSA because before there's a lot of students like even during like the election campaign I go up and talk to students like while tabling and they'll ask like what does the CSA do or what is even external affairs like so I think yeah maybe just now with the changes like obviously like in the past students were very unsure about what CSA is so like change is good change can like be a like a starting point to make things better so like I'm open for the like new structure I think it's a chance to like for myself to better understand like how the CSA can work like I haven't been involved with the CSA while it was the commissioner structure but like yeah this new thing I think it could be good it could be really good
right yeah. It's like when you renovate and you're, when you're working in a store and you renovate and people pay attention it's like oh they're renovating so this must be something different so it's not just about the reorganization but it's almost a way of getting attention drawing attention again well Emily brought up Jay when I think we'd probably be remiss if we didn't talk about Jay because it did get a lot of attention outside of campus in terms of what you think happened do you think he was treated fairly do you think you know that it became too much about the past and not about the future because you know I think that's what you're supposed to focus on election is the future but I think there's probably a lot of mixed feelings about this as anything
Who wants to start
so I can kind of speak to this in a few different ways
okay
In terms of, like, one of the big concerns that kept coming forward were, like, how is he allowed to run? How is this, that, blah, blah, blah. Our bylaws have a very large chunk that say we do not discriminate on grounds of, and there's a long list. One of the things in that list is criminal records or criminal past. I'm a very big believer in rehabilitation, and I personally don't think he was treated fairly. People have the right to be informed. I'm not against people being informed. Some of the comments that came forward was not from a point of informing students. It was fully to attack him, and I got hella upset all the time. And then just kind of speaking from, like, he's amazing. He is one of my closest friends, and I'm disappointed, but he is amazing, and he is just kind of continuing on. He just got accepted into a master's program for leadership, which, like, is his program. Like, I can't imagine him doing anything else. And it's a shame, but it was students' rights to vote however they wanted, and they decided to vote no. So.
You were shaking your head, Becca.
Well, shaking my head in agreement. it was really hard. It was hard for me actually to have like won my position in this election and to look at the results and see that people there are many people who voted for the sole reason that they wanted to vote no for Jay. I mean, there are people who I know that's like the box that they ticked, and then they didn't even vote for other positions. Like, people who wouldn't otherwise have wanted to be engaged in this election voted just to say no to Jay. And it was a social media frenzy. It always is on Overheard. I mean, I love Overheard. I think it's important. Shout out to Corey. But
you mean the Overheard at Guelph Facebook page, just in case no one knows.
Yes, in case you have not been present on that very interesting platform. People, it's good because it gives people the opportunity to voice things, sometimes funny things, sometimes just like absolute disaster train wrecks of things. But, you know, people really jumped on this, and it was sensationalized, I believe, in a huge way. And just the reactions I was reading from people were so, like, just empty of compassion. Some of the things, I mean, people are commenting things like, you know, criminals never change. And it wasn't productive, right? I mean, that's hurtful. I mean, Jay did comment right away with his contact information saying, please, like, reach out to me. I would love to actually, like, grab a coffee with you, meet with you in my office, give you some background, answer your questions. Like, he has been transparent about this, and he put himself out there, which is an amazing thing. So courageous. And people refused to acknowledge that. They just focused on, you know, kind of the sensationalized story. There were good interviews. There was, like, some really great interviews that I thought played to both kind of sides really nicely. There were other interviews that were just completely, I mean, just backwards in their approach. They were going in, like Emily said, like with an attack mentality, which I just didn't appreciate. I do believe that people had the right to not vote for him, or even to vote no if they felt so strongly, but just the kind of like defamatory remarks that were made were really upsetting, and I think he should have been given another chance, but here we are. It is another, there is another election coming up, people, just so you know. The by-election for president is coming, and you should definitely vote. Just a quick plug.
No, and that's great, but it is interesting to hear that perhaps there are people who just, you know, voted no on that result, the extension, because it was actually pretty close.
Yeah.
Which almost suggests something good in terms of the university community, that, you know, it was a close election,
exactly,
despite the fact there were a lot of people just voting no for no's sake. But a lot of people were able to look past it.
Yeah, the fact that it was still close is, like, a really beautiful thing. That's true.
Kayla, what are your thoughts?
Well, it's, like, interesting as, like, also, like, a candidate, because I was like, I don't want to get involved in this too much. Like, I don't know. Like, I was kind of, like, on the fence at first. I'm like, I don't even know what I'm going to vote.
Being a real politician, like, I might
add. Yeah, I'm, like, wishy-washy. No, just jokes. I'm not wishy-washy. But it's like, yeah, I agree. Like, it's unjust that some people were attacking him and using, like, just personal and just, like, inappropriate kind of attacks and, like, comments on Overheard. You know, because, like, if you've, like, committed a crime in the past, that is in the past. Like, if I was in his situation and I had a similar past, then I would hope people would take compassion towards me. Or even just, like, if there was something about myself that I had done in the past that people didn't agree with, like, regardless of criminal affiliation, like, I would hope that people would see that and see, oh, it was a while ago, it's in the past, like, it shouldn't affect how someone is in the future. And honestly, it was interesting that Jay would run, knowing that, like, this might be unearthed in the, like, during the election, because that means, like, he's willing to, like, move past this, like, criminal past and, like, move forward in the future.
Right.
So, yeah, it's interesting that the vote was so close. And, like, it is kind of sad that some students only voted just to vote no, instead of, like, actually, like, going through the rest of the candidates and seeing, like, the options for the rest of the election. So I, like, wish the best for Jay in the future. Like, it's kind of hard to run by yourself and like, lose.
Yeah.
I one time was in a music festival, and I got second place in a class by myself, and that was pretty embarrassing to come home, and I was like, Mom, I got second place in a class by myself, so
Well, what you do is you stop before you say, I got second place,
and that's where
you leave it.
So I kind of, like, have had that small taste of that feeling, very small taste in comparison, but, yeah, like, it's... at first, like, even just running in the election, I was like, oh, I'm going to be so embarrassed, like, if I don't, if this isn't, like, successful, like, if I wasn't, like, elected, I was like, oh, I'm going to be so embarrassed, like, everyone's going to know who I am and my name and, like, know my face, and so, like, yeah, like, that's pretty brave even just to run in the election in the first place, but then also just to know that you have, like, some kind of form of a pass that people are going to, like, dig up and use against you. You
know? Right. So... Well, let's talk specific things as we're kind of running out of time, but I'm very interested to know, like, in terms of concrete things that you guys want to do once you get into your position, what's, like, your number one thing that day one, that's what you're going to be working on. And we'll go reverse because we've ended on Kayla a lot, so we'll start with Kayla.
Well, okay, so lately I've been really busy with just getting schoolwork done, haven't really, like, been able to sit down and, like, think out, like, this is exactly what I want to do. But I think a good place to start is with just feedback from students, because next year students will be a different crowd of people because mm-hmm. you have people graduating, new people coming in. So I think that's a good place to start, is to see, like, what the students actually want for the upcoming school year, which obviously, like, can't really be done until September. So in the summer, hopefully, like, during the transition period, I'll, like, have an idea of, like, what I want to do for the upcoming year. One thing that I will probably, like, would like to do is work with just current groups, like, on campus and, like, kind of, like, join in on their campaigns a little bit. Like, preferably something environmental. Like, I'm part of, like, on kind of, like, involved with some of the environmental groups on campus, and I think that's really important, and a lot of people can agree that the environment is an important topic at the moment, but I'm not 100% sure about that moving forward. So my answer is kind of wishy-washy, and I promise I'm not actually wishy-washy. I just haven't had the time to really, like, sit down and think, this is the concrete plans of what I want to do. So
okay, well, that's a good start.
So I already mentioned that I kind of want to do, like, an overhaul on student engagement. That I want that to kind of, like, guide everything that I do as a VP. I think we're probably all on the same page for that, which is excellent. In terms of affordable education, one thing I personally am going to commit to doing is being an expert on kind of the changes that have happened with OSAP, mm-hmm. because as Kayla mentioned, it's extremely confusing. A lot of people, like, think they might be eligible, but, like, they're very mm-hmm. unsure because there seems to be a lot of but not if clauses. Right. So really dedicating myself to being a source of information and help to students when they're confused about that kind of thing. That's, like, one just kind of clear mandate I have for my own self. But also just a lot of, like, the, like, mental health stuff I was talking about, one really easy thing to do right off the bat is that I want to push for putting stickers on res doors for orientation week with, like, a list of resources and services available on campus and phone numbers so that there's no way students won't be able to find those and they'll be on their doors. Like, that's kind of one thing I'm pushing for. Continuing the push that Megan Wing has already started for extended library hours, potentially working towards some 24-hour library space. These are all some concrete things. And then a fall reading break instead of a fall reading day, because I think that the effects of that will be felt a lot more heavily. Whether that's a full week, we'll find out. Mm-hmm. We'll speak with students. We'll speak with the powers that be. But definitely longer than one day is something that I would be pushing for.
And then what are you going to do on your second day?
On the second day? On the second day, she rested. I don't know.
Emily, you kind of have a leg up being already in office.
Yeah, so one of the things in the student experience portfolio is kind of the events and activities. The main event of the year, obviously, is orientation week. So I want to start that process as soon as possible. Event planner training is within this month, so I'm going to be doing that. O-Week's my jam. It was my job for 8 months, so I'm really excited to be on the other side of that now. So a lot of that will be contacting different groups to see if there's any collaboration that they that could be in the future. Last year, CSA collaborated with a bunch of different groups, and had some really great events. So I would like to continue that as well. In the election, there was also a referendum question, which I brought forward for free menstrual products. So I've kind of already, like, started that.
Which was successful.
Yeah.
It is good.
Free pads and tampies. I'm so excited. Yeah, like, I may or may not have cried when I saw that passed. I was so happy. shout out to all the people I made hand out free tampons for me. Mm-hmm. So I've kind of like been starting the planning of that since January or December or something like that. So now it's going to actually be like, I had a meeting with Mike Calvert from UC Admin about like how we can collaborate, because it would be starting in the University Center,
mm-hmm.
and hopefully offices of different PSOs and student organizations like around campus. But I'll be working probably closely with UC Admin to get some machines installed, get a supplier organized, get some storage figured out, all those kinds of things. So that'll be my two big tangible projects throughout the summer, and then kind of figuring out how those focus group things will work logistically, schedule-wise, and like what groups we need to specifically contact.
Mm-hmm.
Can't think of a better word. But wasn't an English major. so, yeah.
Well, maybe to wrap up, I know that a lot of people in the CSA actually go on to careers in politics. So is that something any of you are interested in? Or is this like merely about being an asset to your fellow students? Or anyone ambitious?
I love the university environment. So I would hope to stay working somewhere in the university. I like worked at Student Life for 8 months and loved it there. So something to do with like student leadership and student engagement, because that's really where I found my passion lies. Hoping to do a master's in adult education and community development. Need to work on the application. It's due in November, but I'm starting now because I really want it.
Her fingers are crossed. It is an audio program, so just...
All 70 of my fingers are crossed.
70 fingers?
Yeah, just for luck.
Yeah, like I said, I've always been, like, very interested in politics. I mean, Canadian international politics as well. And I won't say that I haven't thought about a life to do with the government. I was an international development major, so it's not, like, out of the realm of possibility. I think it's a little too early to call. But I'm very happy to, like, be where I am now. I think this is a good spot.
Last word to you, Kayla.
Well, I'm all about the students and the student movement. I'm like, you need to build this. This is going to be good. And I'm trying to always build my activist cred, so the more that I can do, the better. And if it's for young people, I'm all about that, you know, because the young people are the future. And people always are like, oh, young people aren't that smart. I'm like, no, we're actually, like, the youth, that a lot of things that have changed in the past is, well, I'm a history major, a lot of things that have changed in the past is because of the youth. So, you know, like, I'm all about the students. So, but never, I don't know, maybe someday I'll be mayor of Walkerton or something.
Mayor of Walkerton.
You know, like, that would be nice. Mayor Our Kayla. Current mayor has a degree at the University of Guelph.
Oh,
agriculture.
Okay.
He's an OAC. Well, former OAC. So, you know, I follow the trend. Guelph graduates will be mayors of Walkerton.
So. I thought there was no such thing as a former Aggie.
Aggie for life.
Hope we didn't ruffle any feathers
there.
Well, this was a lot of fun, and it just occurred to me it would be interesting to have the three of you back like this time next year to see how it all went.
This is a follow-up.
Just so tired.
Yeah. One year.
It's like, I'm sorry, I can't really speak.
Well, we'll see how it goes, and in the meantime, I think everyone wishes you good luck. So Kayla, Becca, and Emily, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for hosting us.
And once again, that was CSA's VP of Student Experience, Emily Vance, VP Academic, Becca Cheskes, and VP External, Kayla Weller. To follow the presidential runoff and to learn more about the CSA, its programs and policies, you can go to its website at csaonline.ca. And that's it for this week's edition of the Guelph Politicast. The music for Guelph Politicast comes from KPM Classics and Sid Dale. The host of the Guelph Politicast is Podbean. Go to guelphpoliticast.podbean.com to listen to past episodes. And while you're there, you can also listen to Open Source's Guelph. If you missed last Thursday's episode on CFRU, you can download it via the Politicast channel on Podbean. You can get in touch with me by email at adamadonaldson@gmail.com. Reach me through Twitter at adamadonaldson. There is also the Guelph Politico Facebook page at facebook.com/politicoguelph. And you can, of course, donate to the Guelph Politico Patreon at patreon.com/GuelphPolitico. If you like locally sourced independent media in the city of Guelph, please consider donating. And for all the latest local political news, check out guelphpolitico.blogspot.ca, where we'll have a new episode of the Guelph Politicast for you shortly. And until then, see you next time.